Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Sung. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. I am joined by Eric Weidecke, and I am joined by Alfredo Arteaga of the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. And Alf, how are you?
Fabulous.
Fabulous, yes. Daniel Berry always popping in to say hello. Happy Tuesday, hey, everyone. Hello, Daniel. Always happy to have you around. So we've got some stuff to talk about here. The Miami Dolphins schedule. We're a little late to the party, admittedly, but better late than never. We had to talk about Tua's contract last week, and that was something that we couldn't let go by the wayside because of the Jared Goff situation. A lot of controversy in the comments on that particular video, as is always the case whenever Tua is the topic of discussion. So, but nevertheless, engagement is always good. Helps the channel. We really appreciate it when everybody gets in there and gets involved. So today we're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins schedule. We're not really going to touch so much about the preseason, although we did hear that apparently there's going to be joint practices with every team that Miami plays in the preseason. So joint practices with the Falcons, joint practices with the Commanders, joint practice with the Bucks. Very interesting.
Although we don't know how many with each, because the CBA states you can only have four. So one of those teams is going to get two joint practices and the other two teams are going to get one.
Very interesting, but I guess it's a good, just it's good to have just a taste, I guess, if nothing else. So I appreciate that Mike McDaniel's trying to spread it out, I suppose. And we will get into the actual regular season of it all, how everything is laid out, what we can expect as the season progresses, and ultimately, where do we predict this Miami Dolphins football team being at the end of the year. So we'll get into all that. But first, as always, we have to mention that this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to 6 players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, one of each. It's up to you to decide. Just choose whether your chosen player will get more or less than their projected stat. They give you free squares, special Taco Tuesday promos, Flex Friday specials where you can get your money back if you lose, or multiply the amount of money you can normally win. Now, if you happen to be in South Florida, they do have this new thing that's called Arena Mode, where you're going to be able to, they can't do flexes anymore, but they do have this new thing where basically you're going to be put into a pool of other players, and if you happen to be the best one of the bunch, you ultimately end up being the winner. So once again, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with Prize Picks, and yes, it is once again legal in South Florida. So use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. All right. And also want to go ahead and mention, we have, of course, a new sponsor that we've been pushing for the past couple of weeks, Jerseys 305. I'm going to go ahead and play the video here by our own Ethan Skolnick, and he'll break it all down for you.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called Jerseys305.com. That's Jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And once again, that's Jerseys305. You can go ahead and get in on that. It's 10% off your order when you go to Jerseys305.com and use the promo code 5. All right. So, Duke, I saw that you had a little bit of a cutout here. Everything good?
Should be good now.
All right, perfect. So, we got the Miami Dolphins schedule pulled up, of course. So, very first game of the season is going to be September 8th, which 4 months away. Yes, well, actually, more like this just a little bit under four months. But in any case, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars in week one. That's going to be a home game. Buffalo in week two. That is a night home game. So we lose that on the sun, but we get Buffalo out of the way fairly quickly. We go at Seattle. We go back home to Tennessee, go at New England. Week six is the bye. Go at Indianapolis. And then we go home to Arizona, go at Buffalo, at the Rams, home to the Raiders, home to the Patriots. And then we go travel to Green Bay. Then we face the Jets at home, at Houston, at home against San Francisco, at the Browns, at the Jets. So now that's just a very brief, of course, overview on the schedule. There's a lot of home games bunched up together, a lot of visiting games bunched up together. And I believe, I'm not mistaken, I had read that the Dolphins are the second most team in actual travel miles this season. Is that correct?
Yeah, but that's understandable every single year. They live at the very, very small, farthest tip of the United States. So I'm pretty certain that Seattle is probably always second on those lists as well if they have to go east. So, what is interesting about the schedule, and I just looked at this and it just occurred to me while looking at it, from the first day that they show up in training camp to when they go on the road for the first time, it will be 2 months. So they don't leave the state of Florida for 2 months. Go on the road to Seattle.
Which means that Miami absolutely needs to take advantage of the time that they have here at home and get a good head start. Keep going with that tradition that they've been building up where the Miami Dolphins are basically unbeatable at home, because that's what we need them to be. So we'll go right into the actual games of it. So very first week, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville trying desperately to see if they can get something out of Trevor Lawrence at this point. The assumption is that he is going to get paid sooner or later. I personally, the funny thing is that I know that Duke, you were talking about this last week and saying how the reason that the term generational needs to die in a fire is because of the likes of Trevor Lawrence, because for all the hype that he got coming out of college, he has been an incredible disappointment. Like, let's put it this way. If Dolphins fans think that Tua is disappointing based on the hype he got coming out of college, then Trevor Lawrence doesn't even deserve to be on an NFL roster by the standard that they're setting. Trevor Lawrence has done very, very little, especially compared to what Tua has actually been able to accomplish, just statistics-wise. Never mind whether they made the playoffs or not. Just in raw stats, Tua, by far, has been the superior quarterback between the two. But the Jaguars are trying to build back up. They've got some players on there that they brought on. Mac Jones, as a reminder to everybody, he is now Trevor Lawrence's backup. Or is he competing for the starting job? That is to be determined, I guess, at this point. You got Travis Etienne still there. You've got some wide receivers that they brought in. They have Gabe Davis, who came from Buffalo. Devin Duvernay is there. Christian Kirk is still there.
Drafted Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking for him. I don't see him on the list. Very weird. Maybe it's just how their website is set up, but I don't see Brian Thomas on the official roster.
He may not be signed yet.
Yeah, but even then, like, the draft picks still show up on the Dolphins side of things. So it's just a little weird that they don't count them as being on the roster. But thank you for pointing it out, Eric, because otherwise I wouldn't have remembered. Brian Thomas Jr., he's out of LSU, right?
Yep.
Okay, so he is now officially a Jacksonville Jaguar as well. They're trying to put pieces around Trevor Lawrence. I'll give him credit for that. But there's nothing about this Jaguars team just screams fear there's nothing about this Jaguars team that makes me feel like the Dolphins need to necessarily be concerned. This should be a game, especially at home, that Miami wins. And I don't see any reason to believe otherwise.
I mean, it's definitely one that I think you can look at and say that they should win just based on the talent on both rosters. I do think it's a game that could be sneaky competitive if you're not careful, especially with the Dolphins defense. We still don't 100% know what the defensive line is going to be looking like week one. And we don't know how fully entrenched Anthony Weaver's system is by then. So these first couple games of the season, we could be looking at a couple of really high scoring games. Although I will give the Dolphins the edge, even though they don't get that September home advantage with the Jaguars that they do with some other teams that come from further north, I still think that they would be able to put away the Jaguars in probably a pretty high scoring game.
And I would also like to point out, as far as the defense is concerned, Eric, the 3 yards per carry crew, CK's particular on OnlyFans, had brought up that David Long has had the orange jersey. Kader Kohu has had the orange jersey. Now Javon Holland has the orange jersey. So for whatever it's worth, it seems that the defensive players are making a show out in practice early on. Now I get it. This is a pajama party. This is not really a whole lot. There's no hitting. There's no nothing like that. But as far as installing the defense, it looks like the defensive players are actually getting the job done enough to earn themselves. The individuals are earning the top practice player. So with any luck, these guys are liking the defense and what's coming along with it. Hopefully with any luck, we're going to be able to see improvement just based on morale alone. And for all intents and purposes, I think this is something that a lot of people are overlooking. I saw that ESPN had put out an article today basically saying that the Dolphins had severely downgraded in many places because they lost Xavien Howard and Emmanuel Ogba. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Ogba was a good depth piece, but he definitely wasn't worth keeping around at this point. That's for sure. I don't think Ogba's found a new home, has he?
No, he's still floating around there. He's doing commercials on his Twitter account.
I wonder if he's willing to come back for a vet minimum deal. It's like, hey, man, you don't seem to be getting any interest. Want to come back? We're not going to give you $10 million, but we'll give you something. At least you're not sitting out there bored. I wouldn't mind.
Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
He probably won't do that. That's going to be in the same vein as Xavien Howard coming back on a vet minimum deal just because nobody else is interested in him. He'll wait around for somebody to get hurt, which somebody will. As a matter of fact, isn't there a player that we just learned? He was what team is he on? I'm trying to remember. Some player just ended up tearing his Achilles before the training camp even started. So I'm trying to remember who it was. I saw the report today. Does anybody remember that?
He plays for the Saints. I didn't see the name.
The Saints. Okay. I'm trying to figure out what position did he play. Was he a corner? What was he? Let me see.
I think it was an
edge. Oh, he's a defensive end. Okay, so maybe that's Emmanuel Ogba's new home. Maybe they need somebody to take over there.
Entirely possible. I don't know how much I really buy into that. You're gonna get a lot of the mainstream publications kind of saying that the Dolphins downgraded a lot defensively with their personnel because they lost some star power. But I think I like the approach on the defensive line with replacing Christian Wilkins with more of a collective unit of two, three guys. And I think you could make a really strong argument that Kendall Fuller is an outright upgrade over Xavien Howard, you know, at least going into this next season. Even though Xavien Howard was probably better than a lot of people thought he was last year, Kendall Fuller's not a stiff by any means. I think that they greatly improved the linebacker core. So I'm not necessarily buying, you know, a lot of that stuff because it's all predicated on names really.
All right. So going back to the Jaguars anyway, Duke, we haven't heard from you. Anything you have to say about our week one opponents?
I don't know that much about Jacksonville. I agree with Eric. I think it'll be maybe a closer game than what people are expecting. They're not a bad team. They kind of collapsed down the stretch last year, but I think Miami has enough talent to win that. I think they're better defensively, and I don't know that their defense is going to be able to hold up against Miami's firepower, especially at home. So I like the Dolphins in that game. I don't know what the final score will be as far as whether it's high scoring, low scoring kind of thing, but I think it will be
that early.
I'm just saying, I think it'll be a closer game, maybe like 10 point kind of victory kind of thing.
I mean, me personally, I'm just basing it off of what I know about Jacksonville, which again, admittedly is not much. Trevor Lawrence, this all comes, like, we somehow always equate it back to the quarterbacks, and the talent around Trevor Lawrence doesn't measure up to what the talent that Tua has. There is no Tyreek equivalent on Jacksonville. There's not even a Jalen Waddle equivalent on Jacksonville. So, and for all the talent that Travis Etienne has, and he does, he's very talented. I'll take the platoon of Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So the only thing that I can question, and I'm just going through the list here, they got Mitch Morse, who I believe he was a starting interior offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills for pretty mm-hmm. much almost his entire career. Brandon Scherff, he's a long-standing veteran guard who has a reputation, at least. I don't know how good he was last season, but he has a reputation. So you got Cam Robinson here as well, another veteran player. So there's a lot of players on here that you could make the argument that there's more talent there on the offensive line than Miami has. Just good, solid players. Like, I'll gladly take Mitch Morse over Isaiah Wynn or Robert Jones at this point.
Yeah, Mitch Morse is a center. Yeah. He's... So the I argument would be him or
be happy.
Or Brewer.
I mean, I'd still bump him the hard if we end up being happier than I am with Robert Jones or
Jaguars have good edge players. Their secondary is not very good. Miami's offense is designed to put edge players in conflict. That's why you see that the best defensive players against Miami are never really edge players. Think about it. Just go back. As much as we talk about, you know, all this tackle is bad or that tackle is bad, or Austin Jackson is bad, and, you know, Teron Armstead is out, and Tua's going to get killed by this guy or that guy on the outside, they never do. None of those guys ever do anything, ever, though. And I'm talking about the best ones. Max Crosby, they don't do anything. Micah Parsons had the best game rushing the edge that anybody had last year. He had no sacks, none. But he had two quarterback hits. That was his best game. So edge players don't hurt our passing offense. That's what Jacksonville has. Miami tends to put edge players in a lot of conflict, and their secondary is bad. Their offense is, I think it's pretty talented. If you look at it from top to bottom, it's pretty talented. This should be okay. If our defense is just fine, meaning they could limit them under three touchdowns, Miami could win this game by a hefty margin. They could win it by 20, 30 points because their offense is going to be able to score on that defense. It's like if you had to draw two polar opposites, one defense and one offense, for the offense to score a lot of points, it's this one. There's another one down the line, by the way, another matchup where I already spotted the possible 70-point game, but it's coming down later down the pike.
And we'll get into all these other games. Again, I don't want to spend too much time just on Jacksonville. My only point with Jacksonville was that, yeah, I firmly believe that the Miami Dolphins offense is far superior. And I'm just because it's early in the season, it's the very beginning of the season, there's always going to be these new wrinkles that Mike McDaniel throws out there that nobody's going to expect. Now, we may not be able to have all that installed at the very beginning, but it's a fresh season. Everybody's coming off of however long it's been since the last time they actually played a game. It's not like they're going to have all these strategies set into place to stop whatever Mike McDaniel's offense is going to be throwing at them that game. They basically had all offseason to prepare for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I am not even the least bit concerned about Jacksonville. I'm already penciling them in as a win. I think the consensus around the panel is that that is also going to be a win for Miami. Yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So we will continue to move on here. Next game, week two, where Miami is 1-0, and they're going to have Buffalo at home. We're in Miami, and we're facing the Buffalo Bills. 8:15, and it's a Thursday night game, so it's going to be only 4 days later, and they're going to be facing off against Buffalo. So that's the one that we're trying to figure out, right? It's only week two. They haven't had a whole lot of time to prepare for us this time around. But it's still Buffalo. I don't know what it is about Buffalo. I don't know what it is about Josh Allen, but he turns into another animal when he faces Miami. In spite of, like, and I know, Alf, that you've thrown out the stats before and talk about how his game wasn't that great, but even the game where he wasn't that great, he was still this close to beating us. And so I don't know what it is about Buffalo, but they just seem to have a way to drive Miami up a wall, specifically them. So now here's the thing. The Buffalo Bills roster has taken some major, major hits. They had the opportunity to get Xavier Worthy, and they didn't take it. They gave him to the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they had the opportunity to get Xavier Leggett, and they didn't take him. They went ahead and gave him to the Carolina Panthers. And ultimately, I don't know if you can call it settling or if they actually wanted this guy all along, but they ultimately ended up getting Keon Coleman out of Florida State. And they do have some other players on here as well. Marquez Valdez-Scantling from the Kansas City Chiefs, he's there now. Curtis Samuel is there. He can be a dangerous player. Mac Hollins, he's a good depth piece. We know him very well from his time at Miami. Chase Claypool's there. I don't know if that's going to amount to anything. If there's anything Claypool can do, he's a go-up-and-get-it kind of guy, I guess. So I guess that's more fitting of the Josh Allen play style, where accuracy is not going to be his number one priority. So there's a lot of
We don't even know if he'll make the team, though.
This is true. He won't. We don't even know if he'll make the team. Andy Isabella's there, so that's another name that we recognize. So there is some pieces there. It's not, I don't know if it amounts to being able to replace Stephon Diggs that easily. There's nobody there who's the consensus. He's going to be your new Diggs. Maybe the rookie Keon Coleman. I mean, again, he fits what Josh Allen does better. But the real weapons here, and this is something that Miami really has to keep an eye on, and I hope that Anthony Weaver's ready for it. Buffalo's tight ends have been a major safety blanket for Josh Allen over the past few years. And now that they got Dalton Kincaid last season, he showed out. Dawson Knox has been a rock solid target for Josh Allen over the past few seasons. Now, the running back situation, James Cook is starting to come into his own. So Miami needs to keep an eye on that. You don't have Christian Wilkins to team up with Zach Sealer anymore to stuff up the run anymore as well as they used to. So hopefully Sealer continues to be the guy that we know him as, and it wasn't just the fact that it was him and Christian Wilkins in tandem turning them into the superstars they were. Buffalo is going to be tough. No doubt about it. Matt Milano is still there. I can't believe Von Miller's still playing, actually. I just realized he's still on the roster. Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Gregory Rousseau, AJ Epenesa. There's a lot of really good talent on this team still, in spite of the fact that they lost Jordan Poyer and they lost Micah Hyde. Or rather, I shouldn't say they lost Micah Hyde. He's still there. Buffalo just doesn't seem very interested in bringing him back right now. So that's interesting. So looking at this roster, Buffalo continues to be difficult to deal with. So I'll go ahead and let you guys have your thoughts about this. This is the first game where, for me, I can't just definitively say, oh, yeah, Miami wins this one. I'll start with you, Duke. Well, Al, don't you say every year that they're going to go 17-0?
No.
Just to start the show off?
No, I never did. Last year I said they would go 11-6, and they went 11-6.
Well, that was your real prediction. You always say that they go 17-0 at some point.
But this is a scheduled win for Miami. They're being gifted a win early in the season against the Bills. It's just up to them to take advantage of it. Division games at home on Thursday nights are unfair. And, you know, the NFL is not rigged, but the schedule is. It's a fact. They rig the schedule every single year to try to get certain outcomes, to try to achieve parity. And they're doing it again this year. They're helping Miami out early in the season and then hurting them late in the season. And that's why you got to take advantage of all these opportunities. And one of those things that they had to take advantage of is splitting with Buffalo. Had they split with Buffalo last year, they would have won the division. Had they beaten Tennessee last year, they would have won the division. So even with all their injury luck last year, think about all the blown opportunities that they had. Well, this is another opportunity. They're handing them a massive advantage early in the season against the Buffalo Bills. Just take advantage of it and win the game.
All right.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. The other thing that we're looking at here is, sure, you can talk about Keon Coleman being a better fit for the Bills offense if you want to, but I don't think they're going to have Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs chemistry right away here in week two, to where they're going to be picking on a weak link in the Dolphins secondary like Kader Kohou was on the outside in that game against the Dolphins last year.
Contrary, Eric, I think they'll have a lot of chemistry with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, especially since they couldn't stand each other by the time that Diggs
finally got. You know what I mean when it comes to on the field.
Okay,
the
yes, field. I understand.
you're expecting a connection there that takes some time to develop. Usually, especially, you know, with a quarterback like Josh Allen, who, you know, isn't the most accurate guy in the world. Keon Coleman's going to have to kind of get adjusted to him. And likewise, Josh Allen is going to have to get adjusted to Keon Coleman. And I just don't think the Bills offense is going to be, you know, at its peak at the beginning of the season, where it might be mid to late year once they really get going, once these guys really get comfortable with each other. But the Dolphins have that built-in continuity. You know, you don't have to worry about the Dolphins offense. They're bringing almost everybody back. You know what it's going to be. They know what their offense they're running. There's not going to be any early season rust there with this Dolphins team. And so I think that they're going to come out strong out of the gate. And I think that they beat Buffalo. Again, I think Buffalo took some serious hits in the offseason as far as the talent goes. I think the Dolphins have the better roster. And I think that they win that game. I don't want to go too crazy with it, but I think they could win by more than one score in that game.
Duke, any thoughts?
I mean, I want to believe, but I got to see them do it first. I mean, Buffalo's been the thorn in the side. And just, you know, like you mentioned, Josh Allen seems to have his best game, saves them up for Miami. I agree with Alf that it is set up for Miami to win this game. It's a home game Thursday night. Neither Miami nor Buffalo have necessarily tough opponents week one. I think Buffalo has Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. So they're games that both teams should win. So it should be a 1-0 matchup between the two teams. But until they can kind of get that monkey off of their back, I don't know. I want to see it in order to believe, but I'm not going to give this one to Miami as much as I want to. So I think it's going to be more or less a toss up. I'm hoping all that stuff that you guys said is correct. I hope it's a schedule favor. I hope there's issues as far as learning things between young guys. I hope there's some, you know, discontinuity on the offensive line, because I know they lost their center. So whatever makes it worse for them, more power to it. But I don't have any confidence in this team to beat Buffalo right now. Even though I could argue that on paper they're a better overall team, I'm not going to do it until I see it.
So you're predicting what?
I mean, until I believe that they can beat Buffalo, I'm going to have to give them an L on this. It's how it is. I mean, you know, I would say the same thing in regards to the Jets, but on the flip side, it's like Miami seems to own the Jets. I don't care who they have at quarterback. I don't care what the situation is. When the Jets come to Miami, that game's a W for Miami. It's just how it is. And until Miami can put away Buffalo in a resounding fashion, and it doesn't have to be, you know, like win by 30 points. They just can't, like, eke one out with a, like, you know, the butt punt and a fourth down kind of thing or whatever, you know. Couldn't get the snap off like they did a couple years ago. I need to see them win. I want to see them win that game by kneeling out with, like, you know, a 10-point win or something like that. That will do it for me. I'll take a win any way I can get it, but I don't know. Like I said, until they can prove that they're a better team than Buffalo and can beat Buffalo, I'm going to have to give Buffalo that win.
So for me, it's a very head versus heart thing. My head says that exactly what Duke is saying is that I need to see it before I believe it. I've seen Buffalo just torture Miami for the past 4 or 5 seasons. And it's just been a miserable experience having to concede the AFC East to our rivals for the past several seasons, especially knowing that we've had opportunities to put it away and we just have squandered them. Somewhere I feel like Cap for Life is somewhere in the background and he feels a disturbance in the force. But I will say that my heart is saying it's very early in the season. As Alf pointed out, this game is set up for Miami to win it. Miami should still be relatively fresh. I'm hoping that we're not going to have any major injuries in the very first game of the season, or God forbid, even worse, the preseason. So that would mean that Armstead would be available, theoretically speaking. You'll have Tyreek, you'll have Waddle, you'll have OBJ, you have Mostert and Achan, you have Isaiah Wynn still, because again, I'm predicting him to be the left guard once again, whether we like it or not. And again, he was good, not arguing whether he was good or not. It's just that he's not reliable. But week 2, I think there's a distinct opportunity for Miami to actually go ahead and get this win. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to hope and pray that Alf is right. And Duke, I love you, man. I hope you're wrong. Then Miami goes 2-0. Poltergeist in the chat of the saying, I'm ready to be hurt again. So yeah, I know. I understand where you're at, man. I get it. It's like, I'm going to hope. I'm going to believe. But I'm just like, if it happens again, I'm just going to be like, oh, I should have known better.
And I mean, so. look at last year as well. I mean, it was, I mean, the first touchdown that Buffalo scored was a freak play where the ball bounced like a mile up in the air. And for some reason, Eli Apple didn't just chuck Trent Sherfield out of bounds. He let him catch the ball. Once the ball is tipped, and maybe he didn't know, I would have thought someone would have yelled tip or whatever the code word is that the ball's in the air. At that point, do whatever you want. Throw him in the first row of the stands for all I care. Get him out of the way. And then the second touchdown, and that's where I turned the TV off, was the punt return. And so, I mean, they had a fluke touchdown, a punt return touchdown, and then they won by 1 score. So, you know.
Both extremely preventable.
Yeah. I mean, it was a weird circumstance. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like Miami probably had the better team that night. They should have won that game, and yet somehow they didn't. So I'm like, you know, it's stuff like that bothers me. It's like, so Miami can go into this game. They might beat Jacksonville by 40 points. Buffalo somehow ekes a 2-point win or something over Arizona, and it looks bad. And then like, oh, Miami's got a real chance. And then there'll be some, you know, the ball gets caught in the wind and does something funny, and some guy from Buffalo catches it wide open. I don't know. Just something stupid's going to happen. So, again, well, I'm like you. The heart says I want the Dolphins to win. I think they can win. The head says I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
Well, let's put it this way, though. Eli Apple's no longer on this team, thank God, and neither is the guy who idolized him in Vic Fangio for some bizarre reason. So, hopefully that we won't have to deal with any just stupid, boneheaded plays for no apparent reason. All right. Keeping going on. We're going first away game of the season. We're going at Seattle. So we'll just take a quick look at the Seattle Seahawks roster here. So another team that I'm not really all that concerned about, per se. If I'm not mistaken, their starting quarterback still at this point is Geno Smith. Is that correct?
It is.
Yes, it is. Correct. And he's got Sam Howell, I guess, to push him, question mark. So
maybe. But that's Pro Bowler Geno Smith.
Yeah, Pro Bowler Geno Smith. Yep. Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker. He's a good running back. He's been injured a lot, but he's a good running back. Yeah, they've got a good running back room. Let's see. AJ Barner, that's the guy that I was really pushing for in the draft for Miami. He's a rookie tight end out of Michigan. As a late round guy. Noah Fant. Alf, you were high on the Noah Fant train, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they have a really, really good pass catching group. Like, their wide receiver core is as good as ours, if you really think about it. DK Metcalf's a hell of a player. Tyler Lockett, of course. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a great player. D. Eskridge, I think, is going to be a really nice player. This is a guy that I like coming out. No offense, a really good tight end. They have a really good running back group. And Geno Smith has been really good in that offense. Now, their offensive line has had issues at tackle, although that's where their big investment is. Abraham Lucas has had his moments. He's similar to Austin Jackson in this regard, is that, although in reverse, Abraham Lucas started off great, then had some injuries, then fell off, and then, you know, came on strong again. Charles Cross is a guy that I think should be really good this year. They signed Laken Tomlinson just to plug a hole, and they drafted Christian Haynes. Their issues are going to come on defense because their secondary is absolutely great, but they lack some talent in that front seven. And that's where I think this game is going to be lost for the Seahawks.
We'll be seeing Miami, Jerome Baker again.
Yeah, Miami can and I think will exploit Seattle just like most teams did last year, which is running the football. Like if you run the football, you stay in the game with them. You know, their problem really is that their strength butts up right against our strength, and their weakness butts up against our strength once again. So. You know, although I think that this game is going to be tougher. Like this, I think this is going to be a really close game. And I think Seattle is good. They're just not built for the matchup against Miami. Miami really has it all their own way to start this season. They could get off to an incredible start this coming season. But this one I do expect to be a very, very tough game.
Go ahead, Duke.
No, I was going to hit on what he said. They were 31st in rushing defense last year. And as far as passing defense, they were 21st. So they've got the offensive playmakers on the defensive side of the football. Miami should have their way with them. So this might be your high-scoring affair. I like the fact that even though it's a West Coast trip for Miami, they're coming off extra days of rest. And then they have an extra day of rest coming back home to face Tennessee week 4. So you fit that long travel time in a space where you can get some extra rest. So I like that. But yeah, I think this is going to be the game. Mostert and Achane and Wright and whoever else gets it going on the season and put up some big numbers on the ground.
Well, the Seattle, for the record, they did put in some investment into their front seven. Jonathan Hankins, a veteran, a 12-year veteran. Byron Murphy, they drafted this year. Leonard Williams is there now as a defensive end. They've added some pieces, so we can't completely overlook them. Like people were liking a lot of Byron Murphy, so we'll see how that has an effect. And if there's a further record, go ahead.
I you like Byron Murphy a lot, but I think Byron Murphy is really more of an interior lineman. He's more of a pass rusher along the interior rather than a guy that's going to kind of plug up the run. Jonathan Hankins, Leonard Williams, I'm not I'm not enamored with that defensive line to the point where I think the I still think the Dolphins could rip off 250, 300 rush yards in that game. That you could get a crazy number there.
If the offensive line is healthy. I feel, again, that's what it, for me, that's the main thing. Because if we end up going back down to Lester Cotton at guard, I'm not going to be happy. And I don't think Dolphins fans will be either. Because Lester Cotton, again, he's a road grader and a half, but that's only so helpful because the offense is predicated on throwing the football, whether we like it or not. So Lester Cotton is a liability in that regard. So I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to go ahead and put in, because I have to pick a loss somewhere. You know, I can't just say, oh, San Francisco, that's Miami's only loss. Somehow I feel like the Seattle Seahawks could end up stealing this one. So this is just my initial early on, before the training camp even starts, prediction. I'm going to say Miami ends up losing this one.
By the way, spoiler alert, Dolphins are not losing that game to the 49ers at the end of the season either.
Well, I would hope not. We've gotten our butts kicked by them way too many times as it is.
What, once?
Yeah, once is too many times.
They had the ball to try to take the lead with 3 minutes left. You forget that, but that was in San Francisco.
Alf, I had to do a post game show by myself with 49ers fans trolling me for 45 minutes. I'm traumatized, well, man.
I'll guarantee that they will not be trolling you on December the 22nd at somewhere around 8 p.m.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. All right, so I'm putting 2-1 for Miami after Seattle. Duke?
I've got Miami winning this one pretty well. I think the ground game is going to control this. Miami's defense is better. They'll be clicking a little more week three, I think they will be fine. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think they win. They will win with some room to spare. I'll put it that way.
Eric?
3-0. Dolphins win.
Alf?
Yeah, 3-0. Dolphins win. Kick a late field goal to win.
Okay. So next week five, we're going at New England.
You skipped four.
What did I skip? Week four?
Week four. Home versus Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Oops, my bad. Like I saw the same like generalized blue-ish color, and I thought my brain got confused. I'm sorry. So yeah, Tennessee at home. I'm penciling that in as a win. It's at home. Will Levis is not anything that's going to wow me. So
Tennessee is much improved. Their defense is also much improved, but they're coming in here with new coaching all around. And that's usually not a good recipe for a win. And Miami has this game circled on their calendar for an entire year. So this is the game where Miami is just going to, you know, they'll put on a show in this game. Although this is not the game where I think they can hit the 70 points, but they should play well in this game. Trust me. They have.
They need to get them back for the embarrassment.
They have all kinds of motivation for this game. Now, I really do have Miami going off to an insane win-loss record to start the season.
Yeah, this is one, you know, it's even on Monday Night Football again, which is kind of, I think, a nice bit of poetic justice. I think the Dolphins get theirs back and then some. I have this as I have them strolling to a win in this one.
Duke?
Yeah, this is...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy,
Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The revenge game. I think they don't let up. This is a no mercy game. So, you know how last year against Denver, he's like, "Oh, we didn't want to kick that extra field goal to get the to break the record because it didn't fit the game." No, they're running the ball in. If that's the case in this one, they will be throwing. Tua might have 60 attempts and 8 touchdowns or something this game. They're going to put it on Tennessee to the point that it's going to be embarrassing. So, yeah.
Well, let's be fair. Tennessee does have a lot of pieces. Alf brought it up. They're very much improved. Calvin Ridley's on that team now. DeAndre Hopkins is still there. Granted, he's a little older, but he's still DeAndre Hopkins. Tyler Boyd signed with them. You've got at least 3 wide receivers who can do some damage on there right now. And now they did lose their superstar running back, Derrick Henry, so there's no more bulldozing. They tried to replace him with Tony Pollard, but there's no more living bulldozer on the Tennessee Titans.
Although I don't think that Pollard is going to start for them.
I like really? Tajay a lot.
Yeah, Tajay Spears will be their starter.
Okay. Yeah, but it's the bulldozer that I was the most worried about, so I'm not concerned about that.
He was a disaster against us last year, if you remember.
Who, Henry?
Henry? Yeah.
That's because we forced them to use only Henry. They didn't really have a whole lot else going for them.
Tajay Spears had a better game than Derrick Henry did last year against us, if you remember that game.
I do remember. That was the game that I was on WSFN, and I was really looking forward to talking about a win this time, and then they blew it in the last minute. I was so mad. Like, I was already sick, and then I got sick to my stomach on top of all that. So that was a miserable experience. Yeah, I definitely expect Miami to just go ballistic this time around. But again, we have to give credit
where it's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry had 34 yards on 17 carries.
Not great.
And Tajay Spears had 29 yards on 7 carries. So that's double the yards per carry. And receiving wise, that's where Tajay Spears killed us. He had 89 yards on 6 receptions. So Tajay Spears was much better. That was a sneak preview of what he's going to be going forward. Like, he'll be the starter this year for the Titans.
Well, with all that said, I'm picking Miami 3-1 now. Duke?
Yeah, Miami's got this one by 3 okay. scores.
3-1. Eric?
4-0.
Alf says 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we'll go to week 5, and we're going to New England. And I once again say, no, New England, you're not good enough yet. I know that you have a lot
more revenge. Because you got to figure that Jacoby Brissett is still the quarterback right there.
Yep.
So
I don't know. I think they might pull the Drake May trigger pretty quickly. They're really high.
That's pretty early. Like, how early is that? That's
when is their bye week?
3, 4. That's 4 games in. That's too early, I think, to pull the Drake May thing.
I don't know. Something about this feels like there's like, because Patriot fans are looking for the next Tom Brady, and they're not going to have a whole lot of tolerance, especially after getting another first round quarterback in Drake May, to watch Jacoby Brissett throw the football all over again. They've already seen the Jacoby Brissett show. They're not impressed.
The odds are they will never get another Tom Brady.
No, they definitely won't. But Patriots fans are going to be clamoring pretty quickly for the rookie. And they've seen the Bailey Zappe show. They don't care for it. They've seen Jacoby Brissett even more from way back in the day. And now he's even older and slower. So they don't want anything to do with Jacoby Brissett. So if New England gets off to a rough start, they're going to scream for Drake May pretty quick. So
they're going to get off to a rough start. But I think they'll be more patient by this point. I think we'll see Drake May the second time we play them. We won't see him the first time.
All right. Some interesting names on here. Raekwon McMillan's still on the Patriots. Remember him? He was a lot of fun. Him and Jerome Baker together.
They're terrible. This game will be incredibly boring because Gerard Mayo is still from the Belichick School of Defense. So they're going to play a defensive style to try to hold down our scoring. And it will be boring. 24-14 Miami.
But yeah, either way, I'm picking Miami. I don't care if it's in New England or not. Like Foxborough is not as scary as it used to be. So that's 4-1 for Miami. Duke.
Yeah, I don't think New England has the horses to hang with Miami at home or on the road. So it's going to be a boring game, I think, overall. With a Miami win, of course.
Yep. Juju Smith-Schuster, Jalen Reagor, Jalen Polk. I know that a lot of us liked him, and I know that the 3 yards per carry crew. By the way, don't forget to go on to discord.gg/onlyfins. Only $3 a month. Get some really good insight into that. Simon likes Jalen Polk a lot, but I don't think
they did a lot of good things with as far as their weapons. But
yeah,
you know, when you just draft. You know, and you just bring them in right now, Jalen Polk, you know, Javon Baker and Jaheim Bell, you know, it usually doesn't work out for you immediately. It works out for you 2 or 3 years down the road. So this was a very good draft for them to lay the foundation for if Drake May is any good for 2 years from now. But usually when you have young, like a very young young supporting cast, a lot of pain is on your way. So I expect the Patriots to be god-awful this year.
Yeah.
Good. Very good. All right. So Miami's 4-1. In Eric and Alf's case, they're 5-0. So no losses yet. Duke and I have them at 4-1. Let's keep going. So week 6, Miami wins because it's a bye week. And then right after that, they go to Indianapolis. So we're going to see Anthony Richardson, supposedly anyway. So what are we thinking about that one, gentlemen?
They're a really, really talented team. They're probably not good enough yet to be like a true contender. Anthony Richardson could be anything. We don't know what he's going to be or what he is already. If he's any good, that offense is going to be very, very good because they have a lot of speed. Adee Mitchell is not a guy I like. They took him in the draft. Anthony Gould is a deep threat. Michael Pittman, we know, is a true number one. So they have some talent. Jonathan Taylor's still there. And on defense, they have good players sprinkled in all over the place. But they have that look of that 9-8, you know, scrappy team. Those teams are not going to do well against Miami. And they're playing on a very fast track indoors. Bad news for the Colts in this game.
Duke, any thoughts?
No, I agree with all of that. I think there'll be a tough route than what people expect. But, yeah, I don't think they're good enough to handle Miami at this point.
Raekwon Davis joined Indianapolis, just as a little quick reminder for everybody. DeForest Buckner is there. The thing is that I see a lot of really talented potential pass rushers, but knowing that Tua doesn't really particularly care about that sort of thing, it kind of does make it so that it's not as scary as it looks on paper, because if the ball's still coming out in 2 seconds or less, which I imagine is still going to be the overall game plan, even though I'm personally wishing that they would give Tua more time than 2 seconds every once in a blue moon. But that's just how the offense functions at the end of the day. So,
yeah, I think anytime this team is going to be playing indoors, there's a good chance you could get 40 plus. Not necessarily saying that's going to be the case in this game, but I do think that there's going to be just too much offensive firepower on the Dolphins side for the Colts to stop. I got them at 5-0 or 6-0 at this point.
I've got them at 5-1. Well, no, cause there's no 6-0 because that was the bye week. 5-1, 5-0.
No,
that's week 7. Wait,
who am I skipping?
That's week 7.
Dolphins are 6-0 at this point.
6-0 at this point.
Work has me up a tree, man. I can't even think straight. All right. Let's keep going then. Week 8, going back home to the Arizona to face the Arizona Cardinals.
I want to go out on a limb, and I want to preempt Alf here. I think this is the game. Is this the 70 burger game?
Yeah, this one has a shot.
Yeah.
And if you look at them, it's not about the talent, because the Cardinals, they've been bad for so long that they've added some nice players. And I'll give you an example. Like Buda Baker's still there. He's a really nice player. They signed Sean Murphy Bunting, who's a decent cornerback. And they drafted Max Melton, who's one of my favorite cornerbacks. Rookie cornerbacks are not going to do well against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And they have a lot of young pieces in that front seven and a defense that they're still trying to piece together that's going to play a lot of quarters and a lot of cover three because they want to accentuate Buda Baker. Man, that's starting to sound a lot like what Denver brought to the table last year. And one thing's for sure, Tua and Kyler Murray have played three times, and all three times, the first time was in Hard Rock Stadium in the Orange Bowl, and that one was an epic game, the 2-1. Second one you remember was the one in Arizona. So this is going to be the third time, so it stands to reason it'll be epic once again, but I don't think it will be. They're a good young team. They'll be scary for some teams, but not in this case. This is in Miami, and yeah, this is the shot. They have a shot to put up a big number. It's this one.
Yep. I'm not concerned. Not even a little bit. I've got Miami going at 6-1 at this point, which is kind of weird because, again, if we're imagining 11-6 and something like along those lines, then these losses are going to start piling up real quick. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, yeah, Miami wins this one. They're going to be 6-1 at this point. Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, but Kyler Murray, I mean, I'm not going to say that he's bad, but I don't know. He just feels overrated, to be perfectly honest. Like, everybody thinks the idea of Kyler Murray is a lot more appetizing than the actual reality of Kyler Murray. Duke, any thoughts?
No, I don't really have anything to add to this one. I think y'all have covered it, so.
All right, 6-1. Eric and Alf still has them 7-0, so they haven't even lost yet, which is... Boy, they better be talking about Miami real hard on First Take at this point. So
they will, because it'll be going into Buffalo, in Buffalo.
Yep, going to Buffalo week 9. Please tell me that y'all actually have them losing this one, and we're just trying to be real here.
Well, I'll tell you this. This game, going into this game in Buffalo, if Miami can manage to win this game, I think they'll be essentially locking up the division early on. Okay? But that's not the case. They'll split with Buffalo this season, and that's the loss. They'll be 7-1 after this one.
All right. So, yeah, it's at Buffalo.
I agree with that. The whispers will come back out about the Dolphins not being able to win big-time games, especially on the road. But, you know, I think they take their medicine in this one, 7-1.
And by now, and let's try to be real about something, by now, there is likely going to be something wrong with Teron Armstead. There's something going to be wrong with Isaiah Wynn. There's probably something going to be wrong with whoever the right guard is, because there's probably something wrong with the right guard from week 1, unless they go and sign somebody else. And probably one or two of Miami's receivers are going to be slightly hobbled. I don't want to put bad atmosphere out there and say that something's going to happen to Tyreek, but... You know, his cramping, his ankle, the things he wears down after a while because he runs so much. So by this point in the season, Miami's going to start to wear down. So hopefully they manage to keep everybody fresh, and that's why all the weapons have been added. Hopefully that's not going to be the case. But yeah, I have Miami losing this one. They go 6-2 at this point. Duke?
Yep. Again, Buffalo. Got to see it to believe it.
All right, so 6-2 for me and Duke. Eric and Alf have them at 7-1. Now we're going back on the road again, and we're facing the Los Angeles Rams.
So I love Miami. I love Miami in this game, and it's a matchup thing. If you look at their defense, they still have one more balancing year. It was a miracle, okay? And I mean a miracle that they were kind of good last year. Because the Rams were actually a pretty competitive team. They were a really good team. They were a nice team last year. Okay. it was an absolute miracle because they were paying for the mortgaging of their future that they did, you know, to win that Super Bowl, right? So if you look at this team, and remember, no Aaron Donald, and they're going to be paying for that this season. If you look at this team, they're essentially trying to balance all of their talent for an entire calendar year. And look at it, and where they're paying for it the most is on defense. It's a bad idea to be paying for that on defense against the Miami offense. So this game has the potential to have shootout written all over it. So a lot of points. Miami ekes it out.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the shootout. I think this is going to look a lot like Chiefs Rams on Monday Night Football from a few years back. But I have the Rams winning this one in a tight game shootout. I just the Rams offense does scare me with that combination of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Although we don't know how healthy Cooper Kupp is going to be with his history of injuries.
All right. Duke, what are your thoughts on the Rams game?
Well, again, it's the same thing as far as the rest with the Seattle game. They have, because it's a Monday night game, they have an extra day of rest for this game, so they can kind of reset there. I like that. You know, I think Miami overall is a better team, and I agree with what Alf said. I think it's just last year was kind of a surprise for them. They were expected to be really bad, so maybe it catches up with them this year. But I like Miami in this one. I think it'll be the McDaniel takes over as the number one protege or whatever for the Shanahan of the Shanahan coaches. So he's going to face the all of them this year. So I think they get the dub here.
All right. So that means you have him at 7-2 at this point.
Yes.
All right. So Alf has him at 8-1. Eric has them at 7-2. I'm going to go ahead and say that Miami doesn't win this one as well. So I'm going to put them at 6-3 going week 11. Miami comes back home to face the Raiders. I'm picking them to win this one. As much as I love Christian Wilkins, and I know that he's going to love the idea of playing against his old team and just kind of wreaking havoc, such as he does. I don't know. There's something about the Raiders that I just feel like is missing. It could be, you know, a quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't have a quarterback. So,
yeah, because if you look at that team, like, let me pull them up, because I was looking at them the other day and I was like, whoa, you know, like, this might be a tougher task when they come in here. But then I remember, oh, wait a minute, they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew.
I like some of the pieces on defense. We already know, you know, Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins are really nice players. But I like Robert Spillane is a really nice player. Devon Diablo as a nickel linebacker is a really, really nice player. You know, I like Marcus Epps as a free safety. Jack Jones was a guy I wanted Miami to sign when New England cut him. He's going to be a really nice player for them going forward. But, man,
have a quarterback.
Yeah, they are so deficient at all the spots that are going to help Miami look good. And game might be boring because the Raiders like to play in the mud. But, yeah, Miami wins this game.
Yep, Miami wins this game for me too. 7-3 for Miami. Duke, you have them winning?
Yeah.
So that's 8. That's 8-2 for you. Eric seems to have had to disappear for a bit, so I'll go ahead and I'll speak for him and I'll say that they win this one. So
yeah. I have them 9-1 right here, and then spoiler alert: they'll face Drake May the following week, and they'll be 10-1.
Yep. So, yep. Seven. That's 8-3 for me.
9-2.
Mm-hmm. At Green Bay.
There's a loss. First scheduled loss of the season. Well, second scheduled loss of the season.
Really?
Yeah. And by the way, all of these games that I've picked, they're all the way that Las Vegas is picking them, by the way. Miami, I have them right now, Miami going undefeated in every game that they're favored, and I have them going winless in every game that they are the underdog. So 10-2.
So why the love fest for Green Bay? Is it just this amount of faith?
At home, it's going to be cold. It's a night game. Their offense is very, very sharp. That's one of the best coaches in football. They have a good running game. They added Josh Jacobs. The receiver core was a young receiver core, and now it's older, more experienced. This is going to be one of the best teams in football. Yeah, the only thing that could derail this team is if Jordan Love doesn't take the next step. That's the only thing. So I have this as, you know, as a scheduled loss, you know. And again, I have Miami winning every single game that they're favored in so far, and losing every single game that they're the underdog in.
So you have 10-2 so far. 10-2. Eric?
Yeah, I would agree with a loss to the Green Bay Packers. I love what they've done with their offense. I love Jordan Love. And this is just going to be a really tough game going to Lambeau on Thanksgiving in the cold. I have them at 9-3 because I do have them beating the Raiders and the Patriots, as well as I'm sure the rest of you guys did.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and go along with what you guys said. Duke, do you as well have them as a loss here?
I think Miami poses, has the opportunity there for a victory. I think that the defense at that point should be clicking a lot better. If you, I know we had a lot of injuries and stuff, and Jalen Ramsey missed the early part of the season. But usually when you have a defensive coordinator, any type of coordinator change, it's usually kind of mid-season when that kind of picks up and everything starts to come together. And that could be one of those games where it all comes together, and it could be a really – close game. I like their defense. I think they've got a tough defense, and this might be a low scoring slog it out game. And if Miami commits to the run, they've got a chance. But
that's a big
having said all of that, I'm with these guys. I think that's a kind of a scheduled loss. It's just going to be a tough environment. So yeah, I've got that as an L for them.
Yeah, I've got them losing that one too. All right. So week 14, we're getting close to the end, y'all. Week 14, finally, we face off against the Jets for the first time. For all we know, Aaron Rodgers has hurt himself, or he's decided to retire and go off in the mountains somewhere and become some kind of weird monk. But in any case, Aaron Rodgers, week 14. Jets have talent. There's no question about whether they have talent or not. They have talent. But all this talent that they have, it really does hinge on whether or not Aaron Rodgers is still playing by the time Miami shows up.
I'll tell you something that nobody's talking about. Everybody's just assuming because his name is Aaron Rodgers that he's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a distinct possibility he is completely healthy and he is just a mediocre quarterback. Because he's 40.
I mean,
coming off of an injury.
Tom Brady was 46 before he finally decided to fall off a cliff.
That's Tom Brady. This is Aaron Rodgers. This is a different story. This is a different cat. This is a guy that wasn't very good the last year that he was healthy. Now he's going to be injured a year away from football. So I think they're going to be okay, but okay for them is not what, you know, is okay for everybody else. You know, I think if they win 10 games, they should be pretty happy about it. So, you know, I have Miami winning this game because they're at home, and I have Miami going undefeated at home. Because it's required of them this year to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm having Miami win this one too. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is healthy or not. I mean,
and to be honest with you, they should have gone undefeated last year because they blew the Tennessee game and they should have never lost that game to Buffalo at the end of the year. So last year, what did they go? They went 7-2 at home. They should have gone 9-0 at home last year. And had they gone 9-0, they would have had the one seed. Think about that.
Scary stuff. All right. Yep. I'm having them win. Duke, you have them winning?
Yep. Facing the Jets at home. That's, again, until it's the inverse of the Bills. Until they prove otherwise, that's a W for the Dolphins.
All right. Going at Houston. I have that's a loss. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a loss here. Houston will be desperate because they're going to be in the middle of the pack. and they're going to need wins. And most teams, especially young teams, where they get their wins is in their comfort zone. Their comfort zone is at home, and they'll get that one.
And CJ Stroud's no joke. So this is definitely not one of those situations where a team just has a bad quarterback and you can kind of beat them on based on that. CJ Stroud can play, and he's got a lot of really good talent around him. So that's a loss for me as well, Duke.
I don't know. I kind of have a feeling that, you know, a lot of people are building up the Texans to be this, you know, Super Bowl contender, and I get it, but I still think they're a young team, and I think some of what happened last year was, I don't want to say fluky, but I think it's just one of those, I think there's a little bit of regression there, and they come back a little bit. I do agree with Alf that there'll be a desperate team. I don't think they're going to be blowing people away. But I like the fact that it's going to be an indoor game. So it's going to be you don't have to deal with any kind of weather, and it's going to be beneficial to Miami's offense. I'm kind of torn on this one. I think Miami can win this one. I think they stand a good chance to win this one. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet. So I'll go with everyone else and say this is a loss just because it is an away game. But I wouldn't be surprised if Miami won this one convincingly either.
I will say this, a lot of the talent that they actually have, the Houston Texans, we say that they're a young team, but I'm looking at their roster. Laremy Tunsil, he's 29. He's youngish, but he's getting up there. Dalton Schultz is a tight end. Nico Collins, he's 25. Stephon Diggs is there now, so that increases the overall age range of the team. Joe Mixon is there. He's 27. He's a running back. So a lot of their headliners, I guess you could say, they're definitely veteran players. So they have a lot of young talent, yes, but they also have a lot of not-so-young talent. Derek Barnett came from the Philadelphia Eagles to come play there. You've got some veteran guys there for sure.
Yeah, but remember always the cardinal rule in the NFL. You know, if you have a good team and you're at home, you usually win. It's one of those things. So the Texans, I think, going to be fine. You know, they're going to be kind of similar teams. You know, maybe Miami's a little bit better, but they're at home and they win.
All right, so week 16. Sorry for speed running this, folks. We're already over an hour into the show, and we got to wrap it up. But San Francisco, is it going to be? We're in Hard Rock, and Duke's Alf says we're winning that one. I really hope he's right, because I don't want to do another show where I'm going to have San Francisco fans laughing at me.
Yeah, 49ers are going to be coming across the country. It's never a good spot for West Coast teams ever coming over all the way across the country. So, yeah, it'll be a close game. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be close, and Miami wins it in a close one.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just from the what Alf said, it's really tough to go from the West Coast all the way over, and then, you know, if you're jet lagged even a little bit against this Dolphins offense with the kind of speed that the Dolphins bring to the table, you're gonna get got a few times in that game. So I think the Dolphins end up beating San Francisco at home.
Alf, are you as confident as these guys, or do you share my apprehension a little bit?
Nah, or, Dolphins or
Duke. I'm sorry, I meant Duke. See, I'm not even thinking right. Duke.
I want to go with these guys, and I think the revenge factor is going to play into this. I think you've got the 2022 game still kind of lingers, and we saw what happened last year. You know, from the 2022 season when you know, Brandon Staley had it figured out, and Miami goes and puts up a bajillion yards in Los Angeles and beats the Chargers. And I think McDaniel gets his revenge against the 49ers that beat him that last time. And like Alf said, that was a close game. That was the one, wasn't it, where Gesicki had like a fourth down catch and it was ruled like short, or he dropped it, or I don't remember. It was something that shouldn't have been.
He was everything happened on that play. First of all, he was interfered with by Dre Greenlaw. Then he caught it, and they said he didn't catch it. And then they were going to spot it because they said he caught it, and they said they were going to spot it short, but then the replay showed that he had a first down. So they got every single part of that call wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, Miami was in that game, and that was on the road. I think McDaniel gets his revenge on this one.
Christian McCaffrey scares me. I don't know. I can't. I don't think I can do it. I'm going to go ahead and say that somehow Miami ends up losing that one. San Francisco is a top tier team. They struggle against top tier teams. I'm sorry, it's true. So I'm going to pick Miami ends up losing that one. However, going at Cleveland, that's who's their quarterback right now? Is it Deshaun Watson still?
Yeah, I have them. I have the Dolphins losing this one. I think
really.
I think Cleveland. They'll be much more desperate team at this point of the year. And I think that they're going to be a team the way that they're built to play really, really ugly, low scoring, possession for possession type football, bad weather. Their defense is built to hold down pass offenses. You know, everything points to me to some type of like 20 to 14 game. And Cleveland holds on for this one.
Now, see, that's interesting because I actually have Miami winning this one. I have zero faith in Deshaun Watson. Knowing that, I'm thinking they're going to put all their effort into using Nick Chubb and Donta Foreman and all these running backs here just to try to pound the ball as hard as they possibly can. And I figure Anthony Weaver is going to accommodate that and basically dare Deshaun Watson to prove there's any semblance of that Pro Bowl quarterback left in him, which I don't think there is. So I think that Miami can actually win this one.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that they end up exercising those late season, demons. I think the aggressive defensive scheme that Jim Schwartz runs might come back to bite him in this game with what a lot of Mike McDaniel does with the misdirection. I think that the Dolphins hit on maybe one or two big plays here that turns the tide of the game. And they win this one to go to 12-4.
Yep, Duke. That's what I have them at 12-4 right now, right there.
Yeah, I'm going to pencil this down as a loss. They've got a really good defense that was one of the best defenses in the league last year in terms of points, in terms of yards. It's going to be a late season game. It's going to be a night game. It's on the road in the cold. So, I think all that factors in. I mean, the one thing is I think that Miami has the better quarterback. And so that usually can, in some of these closer games, can be a determining factor. If Deshaun Watson plays like he has played in the past and we kind of expect him to be, I think Miami doesn't really stand much of a chance to win this game.
Wait, are we talking about Deshaun Watson, Pro Bowl Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I'm talking about that. Okay. If he's played like he has the past couple of seasons. And remember, he missed a lot of time last year, and Joe Flacco came in and played really well for them. So I don't know who their backup is now.
Jameis Winston. Flacco,
yeah, so I wouldn't be worried if he's in the game. And if Watson's playing poorly, then Miami stands a really good chance to win. So, but all the other factors I mentioned, I think I have to write that down as a loss.
Yep, I'm not worried about Cleveland. I mean, okay, I take it back. I'm not going to say I'm not worried about Cleveland. I'm not worried about Cleveland's quarterbacks. They're going to be very one-dimensional as far as their offense is concerned, I think, unless they somehow – because it's not just Jameis Winston that's out there. Tyler Huntley is over there too. So if they give the ball to Huntley and they basically say, go be a running back, then maybe they've got a shot there. So that's my thought process as far as Cleveland. So I actually have Miami winning that one. And finally, week 18, we end the season at the New York Jets. Does anything change now that they're in MetLife? I just realized the MetLife takeover is going to be literally the last game of the year. Wow.
Eagle, yeah, this game,
has a lot of time to sell tickets.
I don't think that this game is going to matter for Miami, and I think the Jets are going to need to win this game to get into the playoffs. So I think I don't think Tua is going to play this game. And I think Mike White is actually going to make it. Mike White is actually going to scare the Jets enough. And Jets win it late on a field goal or something like that. Dolphins end the season 12-5. They win the division and they have probably the one seed.
I tend to agree with this. This game kind of comes down to me if the game actually means something or not, and I tend to believe that it won't as well, as I have them coming in at 12-4. I think you know they kind of just coast in this one and end up losing.
You're going into a 12-4. Okay, never mind. I thought you said that you end the season 12-4. Duke.
Yeah, rest the starters, get them off that ridiculous field.
I just realized, yeah.
And so I don't want anyone important playing in that game. So start all the backups. And finish the season. And you know, I could see it where the Jets still lose that game because they'll be, you know, if they have lost a couple in there that they shouldn't have, or if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing as well, like Alf mentioned, he is a 40-year-old quarterback, and if he's playing poorly, they may be checked out. Because at that point, if let's say they come into that game and they're, you know, 8-8 and no chance of a playoffs, or they're 7-9 or something like that, and Saleh's gone, Douglas is gone, Rodgers is gone, that's going to be a 2019 Dolphins tear down situation. They'll be checked out. Miami still wins that with Mike White. So I'll go with a loss here, because these guys, like they've said, they may need that win for the playoffs where Miami won't, but it's the Jets, and I don't really believe much in them at all. So
I don't think they'll rest the starters. I don't think they'll go that far. Maybe they'll have them play like the first half, and if Miami gets up to a lead, then they'll bench them. Because I don't think Tua's going to be like all that thrilled with the whole idea of, oh, wait, I don't get to play? Why not?
But by the way, I ran the numbers. And no, I have Miami going 12-5, not needing that last game because they would have the 2 seed locked up. I got the Chiefs having a ridiculous record this year.
As long as you don't say 17-0.
Nah, 14-3, though. I do have the Chiefs going 14-3. So Miami will have no opportunity whatsoever to move up or down the last game of the season. So they'll rest everybody. They'll win the division 12-5.
Okay. I mean, I personally have them winning. Like I said, I don't think they will rest the starters, whether we think they should or not. I don't think they will. That's just me, my instinct as far as that goes. But yeah. I feel like Miami's got a clear shot to the playoffs and definitely the AFC East crown. I think 12-5 would be sufficient for that at that point. I don't think that the Buffalo Bills are going to be quite as loaded as they once were. Josh Allen, for all his efforts in being a one-man army, he's still only one man, and you can't do it every game, so they're going to lose some games they shouldn't. So, yeah, I think that about covers it. So the consensus here, basically, Miami goes 12-5, and that's with the fact that we lost Xavier Howard, Emmanuel Ogba. We lost a whole bunch of other players. Christian Wilkins is gone. Oh, well, Miami makes it work, mostly banking on their offense to be even more improved. And again, keep in mind, everybody, that all of this is based on the idea that basically everybody's healthy. God forbid something happens to Jalen Ramsey. God forbid something happens to Tyreek. God forbid something happens to Tua. Everything can change.
But that's every team, though.
Yeah, exactly. Every team.
Because, you know, I've read all this stuff, you know, about Tua, you know, has dropped some weight, and people are like, is that a smart idea? And then I read that Lamar Jackson has dropped down to possibly 205. And here's a guy that's missed games in his career. Is that smart? Nobody's thinking about that, though. Josh Allen, another guy that runs the ball. He's been healthy most of his career. What happens if he takes that one bad hit? I mean, anything like that could happen. Same thing with Mahomes. So I think we always have to look at this with the idea of, like, you know, the depth and what you're expecting and health. Yeah, we kind of know some guys on our offensive line are going to miss time, but we've got guys that we feel comfortable with them playing, you know, like Kendall Lamb. If he's playing in those games where Teron Armstead is not. So, yeah, we just always kind of have to take it that way. But I think one thing to add is, I think, kind of looking back, and I don't want to trash talk Vic Fangio, because I think he's a very good defensive coordinator. He's earned that respect across the league. But I think it was just a situation that was not meant to be. And I think Anthony Weaver is going to be that dude in Miami. And I think he's going to have this defense by midseason peaking to be one of the best in the league.
The difference is that Weaver wanted the job. Fangio wanted the paycheck, and it was painfully obvious by the end of the season. So that makes all the difference.
One thing to take note about Tua, you know, losing weight, and they talked about it today in Mike McDaniel's press availability. He talked about that Tua wasn't actually just on a weight gaining program. He was on a strength program last year. And, you know, you got to understand that this is a bit different. Like, the guy did not really have a rookie season. You know, he really didn't have a rookie season. He was injured. So he was coming off an injury. He had no off season. So you throw away his rookie season. Then you have his second year where he had some injuries. You know, he really hasn't been able to get his NFL body under him. So this has really been like his second offseason where he's actually working on his NFL body, and he's trying to get the right kind of, you know, mix. And I think that he's decided, you know, 222 pounds is probably where he wants to play at, and he wanted to get some functional strength.
Yeah, I quoted this, I said this on a website. I'm like, it's like people have never heard of a bulk and cut cycle. It's like he bulked up last year, and now he's cut back. It's not like he's just wasting away. He's cutting back and getting – he's a lighter weight, but he's leaner and stronger. So ain't nothing wrong with that.
I feel like a lot of times we just look at the overall amount of time that Tua's been in the league, and we just assume that Tua's had all this time to himself. He was absolutely sniped from underneath him by Brian Flores. It was a miserable experience for all parties involved. And once McDaniel showed up, it became night and day a different. You start all over again. It's like, this is your, like, what this is year, what is year three? Year three, Tua. This is your rookie season. So for all intents and purposes, this is Tua's third season in the NFL in earnest.
Well, this is the first time he's had the same offense in multiple seasons since, what, high school?
Yep.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah, this is the first time that he makes it past a second season with the same offensive system.
So, and hopefully many years to come. All right. It's been an hour and a half. We're going to call it here before it gets any longer. Everybody, thank you all so much for joining us. 12-5. That's the average out prediction of the Pulse Offense Nation panel here. So we're going to go ahead at Cap for Life saying bring Ryan Tannehill home. You waited until the very end of the show, man. I don't know if you've been here listening the whole time, but you're a little late to the party. Randy Chambers in the chat. I got 17-0 because I have guts. Now I'm going to go watch the Panthers lose. No guts for the Florida Panthers then, huh? Are things going wrong for the Panthers now?
They're currently trailing 1-0.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're trailing 1-0, but they're playing fine.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
All right. Like I said, we're going to end it here. PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code 5. That's FIBE. They will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. And Jersey305.com. Go over there. Get yourself a nice classic jersey. I think Cap for Life would like a Ryan Tannehill jersey. You can get that 10% off when you use the promo code 5. That's it. We'll see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. Good night.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.